Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Common Sense with Dr. Ben Carson. I'm your host, Ben Carson, and today we have a fascinating guest. She grew up during the Mao Zedong Chinese Cultural Revolution. She survived that, escaped communism, came to America, and now she has a dire warning for us in the United States. You know, it was Khrushchev who said to Eisenhower over 60 years ago, your grandchildren's children will live under our system. And it's very interesting, the things that go into making that kind of conversion. We're going to talk about some of that today. Z has a new book out called Mao's America, A Survivor's Warning. And welcome, Z. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I've been so looking forward to this interview.
Well, you know, your life story is a fascinating one. And the first question I'd like to ask you is, what was growing up like in the Chinese Cultural Revolution?
That's a big question. And I can, you know, just simplify it. During the Cultural Revolution, and what I experienced was total chaos, absolute chaos. School closed, and many of the institutions destroyed. And so as a little kid, we all know that it is very, very important that we stay in the right lane. And that lane is whatever the party told us to do. And that is to, so that's how you survive, right? If you step out of the line, you know what's going to happen to you and to your family. So it's really thinking back, and it's really everyone was in the survival mode and try to say the right thing, try to think the right thoughts, try to behave the right way. So you will be not targeted by the Red Guards.
Well, before Mao came into power and before there was all the influence from Stalin, what was life like in China?
Well, that is, again, another a big question. And of course, I was not there. I was born in 1959. But I do know a little bit of my the story that I heard from my parents. China was a divided country, and China was really was under control a lot of the Western powers, and they call China a semi-colonized country, and it's not totally colonized. So the communists really made this a goal for their revolution to overthrow the oppression of the imperialism. So that's what my father and especially my father bought into, this idea that communism will save China, communism will create a better world, a better society for everyone. And that's why he joined the communists. And so did my mother. And well, it did not end well for anyone. What we got was a new oppressor, and that oppressor is the communist. And the Communist Party, the CCP, they become the new oppressor, and everyone else become the victim.
Was there something that you might akin to a Chinese culture that was kind of destroyed by this new ideology that came in?
Absolutely. Communism have to destroy the old culture, because communist people still have this misunderstanding. Of course, it's on purpose. That's what they were taught, that communism is an economic system, the system that will share wealth, you know, redistribute the wealth so everyone will have the same amount and everyone will be happy. But it's not. Communism, the best way to understand it, it's really a religion. It seeks to control every aspect of people's lives, where you can live, what kind of job you should have, whether you are qualified to go to college, and then what you can access, what kind of information you should access, what you can say, and what you're allowed to think. So it is absolutely a system of controlling everyone. And that is real what communism is about. And of course, the young people don't understand it.
Right.
They thought it's a utopia. People still believe in utopia after 100 million people died under communism, because they were never taught the real history.
It really is pretty amazing. And isn't it interesting that there's an American culture which seems to be under attack in our country right now? Have you noticed?
Yeah.
Have you noticed a similar type of thing starting to occur?
I noticed. Actually, I noticed quite a while ago, and a lot of little things here and there started with political correctness. You know, you should say this, you can't say that, and then the rule keep changing, and that just remind me of Cultural Revolution. You are allowed to say certain things. And if you say the wrong, well, you know, you will be either struggled against in the struggle session, or you'll end up in prison or gulags, or get executed.
Well, do you remember at all as a little girl the hunger that seemed to be prevalent in China?
That was before I was born,
okay.
And that was or just after I was born. So I don't have personal memory, but the whole Cultural Revolution, my memory of growing up is deprivation. We never had enough, and we were everything is rationed, food, meat, cooking oil, toothpaste, anything you can think about was rationed. Everyone was in starvation mode. It's just like, it's not as severe as the famine, the 3-year famine, which lasted 3 years from 1959 to 1962.
Mm.
That claimed more than 50 million Chinese lives.
Wow. I don't think most people really have a concept of it.
They don't know. They absolutely have no idea. They don't have idea because they're not taught. And they're not taught because it was by design. It's absolutely by design, because our institution, educational institution, academia, and now public school have been infiltrated and captured by American Marxists. And they have one goal. They have to train the students as future activists, the future Red Guards, like Mao's Red Guards.
And I think they probably found that the students were relatively naive and much more easily manipulated, which seems to be what's going on in our country.
Yes, right, exactly. Like Lenin said, give me 4 years. The seeds I sowed in the mind of the children will never be uprooted.
Right.
Something like that. 4 years, actually. Now it took less because Project Veritas uncovered a teacher in California. He said, "Just give me like how many months?" He can transform a student from a normal student to a revolutionary.
Now, in China during the Cultural Revolution, if you said the wrong thing or did the wrong thing, what were the series of things that would be done to you? Would it just be, don't say that anymore, we don't
know
that?
What
was the progression?
No. That's Mao said, revolution is not a dinner party. So, Dr. Carson, you're thinking about dinner party. You know, don't say it again. No, revolution is violence. That's what Mao said. And that's what those Red Guards chanted. If you said something wrong, you will be struggled against. That's what the struggle session is about. It's a public trial. They're not just give you a little warning. They will take you and put you on the stage and have all the masses gathered, and you will be denounced a lot of times, beaten, sometimes killed. Mm. So there's no tolerance whatsoever with the wrong thinking. Wrong thinking should be totally uprooted and destroyed. Only one thinking is allowed. That is the correct thinking. That is Mao Zedong thought that we all have to learn. We all have to memorize, and then not just memorize, we have to carry out in our daily lives.
So it was the ultimate cancel culture then.
Exactly. Cancel culture can cancel tangible things like, you know, statues and books and street names, institution names, you know. But ultimate goal is cancel everything in your mind so that you have the Marxist, the Maoist thought. And so we all become robots. No thinking is allowed. And that's what happened to me. I could not think. How could you think? Thinking, critical thinking, really requires you have different sources of information. And then you compare and you come up with your own conclusion. When you only know one version, everything is fed by the party. You know, there is only one truth, that's party's truth. Only one version of information is party's information. You can't think. I could not think. I did not do any thinking in my first 26 years.
Mm. Well, it seems almost unimaginable that something like that could happen in this country, and yet we see the seeds of it every day now.
Every day. And I would say that the American Marxists are brilliant. Okay, in China, they use power to control the access of information. So I have no access of any other information. Everything was controlled, right? So I could not think because I have no other way of getting different information. But in America, the information is there. The information is one click away. But yet, those indoctrinated kids, they stay in their safe zone. They don't venture out. They don't want to know what's on the other side. And so in a way, don't you think they have a better control a tactic than the CCP?
Yeah.
Those are volunteer to stay in the safe zone. They do not go out.
Absolutely.
They don't want to, yeah.
Well, how were they able to get people to agree so readily with these radical changes? I mean, why did people go along with it?
Well, in China, I have to say, there's just you don't have any way out. Everything was controlled by the government, and so here we're talking about, you know, children belong to their parents. In China, it was clear, everyone understood, your children do not belong to you. Your children belong to the party. As parents, your task is to make sure your children prepare themselves to be the tools of the party. So that was started in the very beginning, that they absolutely indoctrinate the children, and to the point that if there's a conflict between choosing your parents or your party, you choose always your party.
Wow.
So that was always the case. But here, yeah, how they indoctrinate the children to the point that they don't want to, they do not want to know the other side of the opinion. It's also the same thing.
Wow.
Because the Marxists, they control school, they control media, they control entertainment. Everything that the children fed to were Marxist ideology.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. If you look at the congressional record for January the 10th, 1963, the 45 goals of communism in America, number 40, I believe, was to drive a wedge between parents. And their children. And
absolutely,
to make parents the ones at fault for any faulty ideals that arise. It's,
yes,
it's pretty amazing, this, the stuff 60 years ago. So
I know, when I look, when I read that, that gave me just a goosebump. It's, they were so successful. They are widely successful. And yet the conservatives mostly were asleep. We did not really understand the threat posed by those American communists,
yeah,
until now, and we start to fight back, and that's why it's amazing to see that all our institutions are fallen, all of them, every one of them, including the military.
Well, it's fascinating to see how the universities have been completely captured, and to the point that the prestigious universities of our country are not necessarily places you want to send your kids anymore.
No, you can send you can save your money, send them there, Harvard, Columbia, whatever, Yale. Your children come back, and you can hardly recognize them. They don't share your value. They don't like the country, and especially for immigrants, the parents really, really have to work so hard to be able to come to this country to give their children a better future. And then they work hard, send their children to the Ivy League. The children come back. They hate this country.
Well, we'll be right back with Z Van Fleet. This is a fascinating discussion about the Cultural Revolution in China and how it relates to what's going on in our country right now. We'll be back in 1 minute. Stay with us.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure, with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And we are back with Z Van Fleet having a discussion about the Chinese Cultural Revolution, how it's relevant to some of the things that are going on in our country right now. First of all, let me just ask you, how did you escape? How did you get out of there?
Okay. Yeah, I know. A lot of people call me refugee. No, I'm not a refugee, and I'm not a defector. So after the Cultural Revolution ended, when Mao died in 1976, China was in absolutely ruins. And the CCP was really bankrupt as an ideology. No one believed it. The country was in ruins. And then the next leader, Deng Xiaoping, knew that there's only one way to save China. That was open China up and bring in foreign investment. Mm. And so because his policy of opening up, and we started to have the foreign business, people come to China and open up business. And also, we were allowed to go to other countries. And that was absolutely impossible during Mao's era. We could not even go out of our cities easily. We just absolutely, everyone has very little freedom of movement.
Right.
So that was, And I'm just grateful that I survived the Cultural Revolution, and I worked in the countryside for 3 years to get my re-education, but still I was able at the age of 19 to go to college and later come to America.
Now, there was something in China during the Cultural Revolution called re-education camps. What exactly were those and what happened in those?
Actually, that existed the day day one after they took over China in 1949. A re-education actually is not necessarily a camp. Re-education is something every person have to undergo because everyone had a lot of wrong thoughts in their mind because they come from, you know, the old China. They got all these old ideas and old culture that has to be really cleaned up. But for the camp are for those who condemned as the enemy of the state. And it's basically a gulags. And because communists believe that how the way to reform someone is through physical labor. So they're all sent to the those condemned as the rightist or condemned as the enemy of the state. They're all sent to the re-education camp. Or labor camp. But that is not, that's what I'm trying to say. It's not just those who are condemned, but everyone should re-educate ourselves.
Now,
and it's a lifetime process.
I see.
You never get it done.
What happened to the people in China who were well-to-do, who had a lot of material wealth during the Cultural Revolution?
Okay. So those people are classified as the black class. If you own property, if you own land, you are automatically become the enemy of the state. Mm-hmm. So they're all grouped together and called black class. And then the others, the have-nots, the proletarians, they were called the red class. So from the very beginning, Mao used weaponized identity politics to divide the Chinese people. So it's in the beginning, it was a have versus have nots. But eventually, the black class become the class for those who have wrong thoughts, who have the thoughts that that's supposed to be bourgeois, not proletarian. So eventually, many, many people that were in the red class condemned into the black class. And that's what I really want to let American people understand the same thing is happening here. Okay, so the CRT, you know, critical race theory, preaches that, you know, the white people are natural born racist. They are born racist. And then the black people are born victims because they are born oppressed and the others oppressed, oppressors. Same thing as what Mao did in China. But eventually, that is not about the class, just like here. It's not about the race. Right. It's really about ideology.
And it's
so
really,
you can be.
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's just
same
a
thing.
Way to divide people.
Yeah, so you can be proletarian in China, but if you dare to think the wrong thing, the wrong thought, you're condemned to the black class. And here, you are just a perfect example. You are a black conservative. You got the wrong thoughts. Right? You got the wrong thoughts. Now you're condemned as the black face of white supremacy.
Right.
Exactly the same tactic. So it's never about the class and it's never about the race. It's about thought control. Well, it's about ideology.
Well, you you gave a speech in Loudoun County at the county school board that went viral. And you make some of those comparisons between CRT and the Cultural Revolution. What gave you the courage to do that? You could have just been quiet and
I know. I have been so quiet, and I never gave I never get involved politically. And I did vote every presidential election because I thought that's my duty, and I could not vote. I could not have any voice in China. So, but I really did not understand the issues that much because I paid no attention. And that is something I try to warn the immigrants or American in general. And we have to pay attention. We have to get involved. And so since 2020, when I saw the BMMs, the Antifa burning our cities, and looting and everywhere. And I said, this is absolutely, absolutely a full blowing Marxist revolution. I have to get involved. I left China more than 30 years ago. And I thought I left communism behind me. And I thought I will come to this country and live happily ever after. Because this is America. What can go wrong, right? I don't need to get involved? You know, everything will be just fine. And there's just the difference between Republican and the Democrats is just how to do certain things, but they all love America. Wrong, you know? So in 2020, I realized communism has absolutely taken roots here. And their goal is not a difference between, okay, how to improve this country. We just have different way of doing it. No, now they want to destroy this country. They want to destroy the system. They want to destroy the institution. They want to destroy everything that make America, America.
Yes.
So that's why I said, I don't want to live under communism again. I came all the way to escape it. I would not just see it taking over this country. So my motivation is very selfish. I just do not want to live under communism again. And I know for a fact, no one wants to live under communism,
absolutely.
But they don't understand.
Absolutely. Well, I laud your courage and your willingness to get involved. What was the reaction of people around you and people who knew you after that speech?
Well, yeah, I did. That was a bomb to a lot of people. A lot of people, like my friends that I have lost touch, emailed me or text me and thanked me for speaking to the for the silent majority. I was like, that is the problem. Why the majority is silent, mm-hmm. But also the other people just distant from me. And actually, after that, I lost contact with all my friends who are on the other side. And I know that in some of the my lefty friends who are Chinese, who also experience the same thing like me, but they're on the other side. They say, "Ha, she thinks she's white. She's never going to be white, and the white people will never accept her." I think those are familiar to a lot of conservative. Black conservatives, right? They will never accept you, and you think you're white. So yeah, so I have a feedback from both sides, and I thought that's really, really interesting.
Yeah,
and there's just so many people just bought into the victimhood.
Well, you know, it's funny because when I was in high school, a lot of kids would accuse me of trying to be white because I was academically doing very mm-hmm. well. And I said to them, "Well, if being smart is acting white, then what is being black?" They never had an answer for that.
I know. That is, they are attacking everything that is good. They are attacking excellence. They are attacking hardworking. They are attacking everything that is good and call it white supremacy.
Yes. Well, we're going to have to take another quick break, and we'll be right back with G. Van Fleet.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Okay, and we're back with Common Sense. And as I've said many times, common sense isn't that common anymore, but we're hearing a lot of it today from Zee Van Fleet, who has had an opportunity to actually experience communism firsthand in China during the Cultural Revolution, came to America 3 decades ago, trying to escape communism, and now sees some of the seeds of communism starting to flourish in this country, and is a voice that we really need to listen to very carefully. You know, interestingly enough, in communist China, there was a lot of death, some of it caused by the economic conditions that led to great famine, some of it caused by political persecution. How can we stop that from happening in this country?
I have to add, you said some is by their disastrous policy, such as the 3-year famine, Great Famine, and some is by political persecution. But a lot of it is by the masses killing each other. Mm. And how they do that? Because they, the CCP divide them. They divide them into two classes, as I said earlier, black and class and the red class. And they absolutely mobilized the people, divide them, and made them hate each other so much that they are willing to kill the other side.
And didn't they actually allow some of the student groups to brutalize others and the police would not intervene?
Yes, that was the Chinese version of defund the police. They did not defund it. They dismantled the whole criminal justice system. All the police were told, if the Red Guards hit you, you are not hit back. And the police were not allowed to go to campuses. That's where the initial violence took place. They absolutely dismantled the whole justice system. So yes, and so when there's no one to stop the Red Guards, started with destroying everything, and eventually started to killing people because there's no consequence. And so we are almost at that point.
Yes.
And we are dangerously close to that point. And so eventually the Red Guards killed many, many people and then start to fight against each other. So they overthrew all the institutions. They thought it's time for them to share power. Yeah. No way. And Mao used the military and suppressed them and sent the rest of them to the countryside to be re-educated. So a good example for the social justice warrior today in America. Your useful idiots for the progressives right now, but when they got power, complete power, absolute power, you were the first one to go.
Yeah. I wish people would really take time to study what happened in China and what happened in other places that converted to communism. And just see, it's always a consistent pattern in the way it's done. And we can see it happening now, and it never leads to a good place. And, you know, there are all kind of promises of utopia and everlasting happiness, but it never happens. And I just don't understand, you know, why people can't see that. But a lot of it has to do with ignorance and only being taught one thing and suppressing all the other information. and indoctrination. And that's why they work so hard to get into our schools. And in a way, COVID was a blessing to us. So we found out what was going on in the schools, or the whole thing might have been accomplished without us even knowing what was going on.
Absolutely. I think we have two, there are two things that wake up so many people. Otherwise, we won't, we probably still won't notice anything until it's too late. One is 2016. Donald Trump, because of him, the progressives, the radical left, was really scared.
Yes.
They turned the heat too fast, too high, and then the boiling frog, that's the rest of us,
right,
finally feel the heat, right? That woke up a lot of people. And then COVID, that woke up even more people, especially parents.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people have been awakened by the attempt of the progressives to use the justice system to eliminate Trump as an opponent.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether you like Trump or not is not important. What is important is, are we going to allow our system to be utilized in that way? Because if we do, then the free and fair America that we've known is gone. It's gone forever.
Yes.
You'll never get it
yes.
back. And I think a lot of Americans actually realize that. And that's why the more they indict him, the more his poll numbers go up. You know, Americans are actually smarter than the progressives think they are. And they actually see what's going on and have some implication and some indication of what's going to happen if we continue down this pathway. But
yeah. But
what you're doing is so vitally important. And, you know, where can people find out more about your work and get your book?
My book is available anywhere the major booksellers are, and Amazon, you know, and Barnes & Noble. And so I really ask people, if you get it from Amazon, please leave a review. Also, I'm very active in X, the former Twitter. I tweet almost every day, and I do the same thing. I lay out the parallels between America and Mao's China. And that's what my book is about, the parallels of these two cultural revolutions. And I gave people information about history, what happened before and what's happening now. So please follow me. And my handle is X Van Fleet, XVANFLEET.
Well, I want to just thank you. Let me ask you one last question before we finish about communism. It doesn't seem to be very friendly toward religion. Why is that?
Yeah, it's in the Communist Manifesto. They said clearly, they stated clearly, they want to abolish private property, they want to abolish religion, and they want to abolish family. And to me, when they say religion, they really, really means Christianity,
right?
Because only Christianity posed the mortal threat to communism.
Right. Because the family becomes the central portion of what you're doing, along with your faith in God. And
yes.
And that means that there's no room for the government to be in control of everything.
Because they want to be, the communism is a religion. It is not simply an economic system. Religion, they want to replace anything else. And that's the cancel culture. That's everything that we talk about. It is to replace the traditional value, and so that we all become believers of communism.
Well, what can... A lot of people will hear you and they'll be distressed, but other than being distressed, what can they do?
Just like me, get involved. You know, 3 years ago, I was just as quiet as any typical Asian American, mind my own business. But I know that I cannot go on mind my own business, but because this country that we love so much is being destroyed. So you have to get involved. Get involved in your local politics, support the candidates for school board that represent your value, and pay attention to what's been what's happening in school. And you don't have to be parent. Of course, parents should do that. You can be, you know, your grandparents, or if you don't have children, you pay attention, because the children, the future of this country, and we have to stop the indoctrination.
Amen. Well, you know, as the saying goes, the only thing necessary for evil to succeed is for good men to do nothing.
Yes, and, yes, that's so true.
I think you are the epitome of that. And I just want to thank you on behalf of our listening audience and America in general for your courage to stand up for what is so important. You know, America used to be the shiny city on the hill, the beacon of freedom, and we're losing that very rapidly, but it's not too late to turn it around.
No.
But we have to be courageous. We have to stand up for what we believe in. And we have to be willing to fight for it. And as Ronald Reagan said, our freedoms are only one generation away.
That's true.
So thank you so much for what you're doing. I hope people will get your book and follow you, what you're doing, and spread the word. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. And thank you for all you do. Thank you.
Amen. And we'll be right back with my closing thought in 1 minute.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Hope you enjoyed that conversation with Zee Van Fleet as much as I did. What a courageous woman. And what a patriot to be willing to suffer the slings and arrows of being out of tune with the progressives and to speak truth, understanding what we have to lose, having seen it. Having lived through it, she knows what is coming. She sees the foundation being laid. We, the American people, have got to be smart enough to understand that what we have is amazing, and it's created the most successful civilization in history. Are we going to throw that away for what so many others have done? They've made the mistakes. You know, the difference between a fool and a wise person, a fool doesn't learn from other people's mistakes. And a wise person does and alters their course to make sure they don't suffer the same fate. We can do that. We must do that. It's not too late. For the sake of our children, our grandchildren, and all those who are coming after us. And because of all the sacrifices those made who came before us, it's our turn to stand tall and strong. recognizing that there may be turmoil in our lives, but it will be well worth the fight. Well, that's it for this week. Please subscribe for free. Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Don't miss any episodes. Tell your friends about us, rate us, and help spread common sense. Let's make it common again. And remember the cornerstone principles: faith, liberty, community, and life. See you next week.